Hey guys, welcome to the channel. I'm so glad that you're here. You know, our mission at Faith is to lead people to Jesus and elevate their faith. I trust that today's sermon would strengthen your faith in God and elevate your confidence for the impossible. God bless you. Let's get into it.
Hallelujah. Let's go over to the book of Luke, chapter 4. Somebody say there's no name like Jesus. There's no power like the power of... Let's stay standing, guys. We're going to stand and we're going to read the word together. Acts 4:31. We're going to go over there and we're going to read a few verses. We're going to read all the way down to 37. And it says, then he went to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. Luke 4. I'm sorry. Luke chapter 4, verse 31. All right. Hallelujah. All right. Ready? Amen. Then he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching. What was he doing?
Teaching
them on the Sabbath. And number 32 says what? And they were what? They were what? Look to your neighbor. Say, get ready to be astonished. Say, get ready to be astonished. Say, God is setting you up for astonishment. Yeah, God is in the astonishing business. Hello? Let me ask some of you. Some of you are probably astonished you're in church. You never thought you would get saved. You never thought that you would receive Jesus in your heart. You never thought that you would have been a part of the army of the Lord. Is there anybody here that's saying, I had my own plan, I was doing my own thing, but Jesus showed up and he set me free? Anybody? Yeah. I got two people. That's enough. I got two people that's honest. It's okay. You're going to get it. You're going to get honest when you go in front of the mirror. And you go like, Who, you? You were doing you, but then Jesus said, no, it's time to do me. Hallelujah. And they were astonished at his teaching. For what? His word was with what? His word was with what? Now, in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. Do you know people can be possessed with demons? Yeah, if you never heard it, you heard it today. And it's in the word. You can be possessed with demons, wicked spirits that seek to destroy and control and then ultimately what? Destroy your life. John 10:10 says the thief comes but for to steal, kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have what? Life. Jesus is the antidote to the devil. I said Jesus is the antidote to the works of the devil. Whenever you see the devil getting busy, you just put the name of Jesus. He got to run. I said, just put the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they said, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. This is the demon talking here, you know. The demon is saying, Mr. Jesus, I know who you are. I want to tell you, every demon that seeks to trouble you know who you are. And they know whose you are. But what they're doing, they're going to try. I said they're going to try. You ever seen a chihuahua? Chihuahua love to bark. They bark on the biggest dogs. Demons are like chihuahuas. They just come to bark. But mighty God, God has put power in you. Hallelujah. I said God has put power in you. And we're going to get to that. But Jesus rebuked him. What he did? He didn't entertain him. He what? He rebuked him. Be quiet and come out of him. Simple. And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed. They were what? All amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. You ever hear somebody go, word? You know, you're talking to people on the street, they go like, word, son? Like, that's deep. What's that? Where did that come from? Right? Yeah, right. But when we used to go to high school, they used to be like, word up, son. Remember that, Cher? For with authority. For with what? Authority and power. What? Two. Authority and power. He commands the unclean spirits and they come out. And the report about him went out in every place in the surrounding regions. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll speak to your people today. I pray that authority will be realized and we will leave here changed and transformed by the power of the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. You might be seated. So Jesus went into the synagogue and he was there teaching them the word. But whilst he was teaching, something happened. The Bible said the people were astonished. They were left at amazement. They were surprised. But he was teaching them what others taught them. He was teaching what they would have been taught when they go to the synagogue every week. But this teaching was different. Somebody say different. There was something that was different about his teaching. And the difference was the authority, or it was the command that it came forth with. You know, many of us can say things, but when it is said under the unction of the Holy Ghost, it brings illumination. When it speaks, when the word is spoken and is mixed with the Holy Ghost, there is a difference. What was the difference here was that they encountered God in flesh filled with the Spirit. Track with me? They encountered God in flesh full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in the book of Luke, same chapter 8, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord, this is Jesus speaking, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Who's the Spirit of the Lord upon? Who was the one that was teaching? It is not, he was not speaking the words of man. He was speaking the words of God. Because whenever they went into the temple, into the synagogue, they were taught the word of God. But the difference was, he was a Spirit-filled man. So when the word came out of his mouth, it was life that was flowing. And what life is that? It's not the life of flesh and blood, but it was the life of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says in him, John 1, in him was life. And that life became what? The light of men. So now they're listening to him, and all of a sudden, they usually hear the word or heard the word, but now they were hearing it. And they were not only hearing it with ears, but they were hearing it with their spirit. And the word was impacting them. And they're saying, something is different here today. Something is different. And as Jesus began to speak, he said, their spirit man became enlightened. That is the difference with when the Holy Ghost administers a word to us. You ever read a scripture and you read it over and over and it means nothing to you? But the moment the Spirit of God brings revelation of that word, the word comes alive. Yes, the word comes alive. Because what? The word and the Spirit. If you approach the Bible with your two eyes, it is no good for you. Approaching the Bible with your mind, it is no good for you. Because it says that Jesus did not preach, Mark 1:22, not like the scribes. The scribes were the big teachers of the day. He did not teach like them. But he teach under the power of the Spirit. Because it is Jesus that takes the word and administers it to your spirit and makes it come alive. Now, all of that can sound like gibberish, but you say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand.
Yes, amen.
Hello, say, Holy Spirit, help me to understand. He taught with authority. Now, as I was looking at this word, we know that word is exousia, right? Meaning having the power to act. Exousia means what? Having the right or the power to act. But it wasn't just that. When he taught with conviction. He taught with conviction. Because we can say 24 is a year of uncommon miracles, year of uncommon miracles. Just to say, this is a nice thing. We write it on, we put on shirts, we do all kind of things. But if you're not convinced, there's a different level now. When you are convinced that God will meet you and perform miracles on your behalf, you see it with a different level of confidence. So the same word that they heard when they went into the synagogue, because it doesn't present to us what he taught. So he was teaching them what they were accustomed, but now it was coming in the power of the Spirit. John the Baptist said, I baptize you with water, but there is one that is coming that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Are you with me? So this was Jesus teaching with conviction. And all of a sudden, the word came alive to them. Anybody remember when the word of God made sense to you? When it came alive to you? My God, that's why I encourage all of you, seek the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says what? Spirit understands spirit. Flesh understands flesh. But spirit understands spirit. So for the first time, they were hearing with their spirits. Jesus was preaching, and the thing was like hitting them. Boom, 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 boom. And they're like, oh my God, what kind of teacher is this? What kind of teacher is this? But the Bible said he didn't teach like the scribes. And you know how we see the manifestation. When the demons started to act up, the demons said, we know who you are. Mr. Jesus, we know who you are. You are the Son of God. You are the anointed one. You are the Christ. You are the one the Jews have been expecting. And he said, what? Have you come to destroy us? Have you come to end our kingdom? My God, Jesus didn't answer them. What he said? Leave the man alone. You see, demons come to manipulate people. Demons come to alter destinies. The devil is after your purpose. Tell your neighbor that. The devil is after your purpose, and he's very subtle. He's very subtle. His goal is to steal your birthright.
Yes.
God, the Bible says all of our days have been written before we were born.
Yes.
Right? So we didn't come here to just wander. God has an agenda for us. And how do we find that agenda? It's when we submit ourselves to God. The Bible says many are the plans of a man, but who has the final say? God has the final say. So if you want to find out what the final say looks like, you have to get where? With God.
Yes.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge who?
Yes.
God. So in your career, are you going to acknowledge God? In your business ventures, are you going to acknowledge God? When you're going to study, you're going to say, Lord, is this what you really want for me? I want IT or I want to be a doctor, but is that what you want for me, God? Is that part of what's been written in my books? We got to learn to get with God so we can understand the plans and purposes of God in our life. I always tell people, I was sharing this with someone, and we were talking how much we love Florida. And I was saying, if it wasn't for God, I would have been in Florida since 2006. But what? God says, no, New York is where I need you because I have a purpose for you here in New York. I would like to jump on a boat, go catfishing on a Sunday. Well, maybe not Sunday. I'll probably go to church, right? But anytime. But no, God says, hey, New York. I'm like, no, Lord, Florida. He's like, no, New York. I'm like, no, Lord, I like this place. Look at this place, sure. We went there for a vacation. I was like, I said, life would be nice down here. Because it's always, for the most part, it's warm. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Yeah. But God said, no, New York. What is that? I checked in with God. I checked in with God. Now, if God calls you to Florida, go. Because you got purpose there. Are you with me?
Amen.
Yeah, Florida is a blessed place, right? So that doesn't mean it's not a good place. But yeah, it's not for me. So Jesus went into the synagogue and he was preaching with authority. He was preaching with conviction. And he brought the word to life. He brought the word to life. He brought understanding to the word. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise a standard. What is that? They're like, what standard is God going to raise? No, but when the demon manifested, what did Jesus show them? He showed them the standard that God would raise.
Yes. Right.
I'll go back again and I'll say that. They're reading the Old Testament. When the enemy comes in like a flood, God promised to raise a standard. Here Jesus is teaching in the synagogue. The enemy wants to show off himself. And the enemy starts to manifest in the man with the unclean demon. What Jesus said to him, be quiet and come out. What did he do there? He manifests the standard of the spirit. Meaning the standard of the spirit is more powerful than the standards of the enemy. And the standard of the spirit is higher than the standard of the enemy. I want to tell you, don't fear the devil today. Tap into the standard. I said, don't fear sickness. Tap into the standard. Don't fear darkness. You know, when darkness comes to you, sometimes you're tempted to be afraid. No, tap into the standard of the Lord. My God, his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher and greater. So he spoke with what? Authority. Now, I want to tell you, he has given you this authority.
Amen.
What good would it be if Jesus took all the authority with him? What good? That would have left all of us open. And left us all as targets of the enemy. But in Matthew 28 verse 18, the word of God said something. Let's read it. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying. Now, this is after Jesus resurrected from the dead. Amen? Do we all believe he resurrected?
Yes.
Yeah, he resurrected from the dead. And he came and spoke to them saying, all authority. How much?
All authority.
How much?
All.
How much authority?
All.
So, does that mean the devil has an upper hand on you in some cases? Does that mean there's some big demons you can't fight? No, there's no big demon that you can't fight, because all authority is in Jesus' hand. He says what? All authority has been what? Given to me. Remember this, authority is always given. Because if I am the power and the authority, something is wrong. That means I'm limited. But when I am given authority by someone that is higher to me, the higher than me, I am being backed up. Hello? I am being backed up and I am being what? Empowered. Now, picture a police officer on the road. Right? Traffic cop. Most people are not afraid of traffic police. Isn't that true? We all laugh at the traffic cop. Here comes a ticket man. Or he don't have no gun. Or he's not even a real police. Anybody ever heard anybody say that? But you better believe, if that same police, whilst you are driving your big SUV, lifts his hand like this, you're going to stop. You're going to stop. Unless you would like to spend life in jail. Some of you are like, I ain't stopping. We'll see you on the news with your mugshot and we'll hear your sentence. But guess what happened? When the police officer raises his hand, what we do?
Stop.
We stop. Why? Does he have the power to stop your car?
Yes.
No. He can't stop the car. But what he has is authority. And that authority does not come from him. The authority comes from the force. Hakati labosaya. The authority comes from the force that is behind him. Do you know that there's somebody behind you?
Yes.
You ever notice God didn't give us nothing for the back when he gave it the armor? The armor, everything is for. The Bible says that God says, I will be your rear guard.
Yes.
I will be. He is the force behind you. He's the one that is pushing you forward. He's the one that is advancing you. The devil is not behind you. The devil is running from you because you got authority. So the police officer would lift his hand and even a, what do you call it, an 18-wheeler, the big old 59, 50-something foot truck would go, axe, because the man has what? Authority. I want to tell you today, Jesus said, all authority is mine. And then he says, let's continue. Put that scripture back up. 18, All authority has been given to me where? In heaven. And where else? On earth. Where is the authority? In heaven and on earth. That means there is no gaps. There's no gaps. And let me show you where the other part is. Go to the book of Philippians. You might say, Pastor, what happened to under the earth? Let's talk about under the earth. Philippians 2, 9 to 11 says, therefore God exalted him. Who exalted Jesus? Right. God exalted Jesus, and Jesus gives us authority. It's always delegated. You see that? Authority is always given. Authority is always given. Hallelujah. Maya Bashaya. Lord, open up our understanding today. Therefore, God exalted him where? To the highest place. And give him the name. What kind of name? Read. Let's read together. Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him what? No, let's read it together. Given him what? The name, which is above how many names? Continue. That at the name
of Jesus, every
knee
shall
bow. Those where? In heaven. Those on earth. And let's stop. Those that are what? Under. So we're dealing with those that are in heaven. Hallelujah. On earth. Hallelujah. Those that are where? Under the earth. Is there any gaps?
No.
I said, any place left?
No.
Everything is covered. So anything that presents itself in any of those three locations, you have authority over it. How much authority has been given to Jesus? All authority. Where? Heaven? Earth? Beneath the earth. Now let's go back to Matthew 28. Mosakada bakatia. What is the purpose of this authority? 28 verse 19 now. It says, let's read back from 18. I want everybody to see this. And Jesus said, now spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Next, what he says? Go. Stop it. He said what?
Go.
Now, before this, you couldn't go. Before this, you couldn't go. But now that all things are subject to him, all things are under his feet. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. Put it up. When Jesus died, he did something to the devil. You see, many times we're afraid of the devil. We're afraid of demons. We're afraid of witch doctors. We're afraid of this person. We're afraid of that person. We're afraid of this obia. We're afraid of that obia. We're afraid of this walk and that walk. Amandoko sakadabakataya. Colossians 2. Let's get it. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the what? That's your sin. He dealt with your sin. And have nailed it where? To the cross, right? Where's your sin? Where's your sin?
On the cross.
Where's your sin?
On the cross.
Where's your sin?
On the cross.
Right. Everybody's sin is on the cross.
Amen.
Let's go. Continue. 15. Look here now. Read it. Having disarmed. So hold on. That means somebody was armed. If I could disarm you, I mean you was armed.
Yeah.
Having disarmed what? You know who that represents? The devil and all his demons.
Yes.
What did he do to the devil?
Disarmed.
He disarmed him. What did he do to principalities? Meaning that the strong guys that look over regions, they said, this is how, you know, like there's dons in different communities. I run here, you don't come over here, bro. This is my project. You don't come over here. You come over here, you're going to get shot. Or something's going to happen over here. Don't come over here. Right? Yeah, we see it. Anybody ever seen those things on TV? Yeah, they're real. You know what set those up? Principalities. We see the man. We see the people. But it's people that have allowed the enemy, has made themselves available. You know, if you don't make yourself available, God can't use you. When the Lord says, who will go for us? What did Isaiah say? Lord, send me. He made himself available. So the people that you look at, they make themselves available. Sometimes it's also bloodline curses where unawares they get connected. It's like they're in this stream and this stream is just flowing towards disaster. And they can't help themselves because there is a curse that is placed on the family. Grandfather was in the gang. Dad was in the gang. Son is in the gang. And the grandson is lying up. Listen, not only gangs. Prostitutions. Mother was prostitute. Daughter is prostitute. Granddaughter is prostitute. Curses that go from generation to generation. But somebody say, there is a disarming. Say, there is a disarming. There is a disarming. All right, having disarmed principalities and powers and what? Made a public spectacle of them. Was it done in secret? God put Satan on the shame bench. Public display. Meaning, the demons themselves know it. The angels in heaven know it. Those who are alive know it. Also, those who were dead felt the effects of it. Because the moment Jesus went to the cross and then he paid and he raised, the dead that died in God before rose from the dead and were ascended into heaven. I'll go back slow and say that so everybody can understand. See, preachers get excited, right? When Jesus died, so like say for instance, Noah died. Noah didn't go to heaven. He was here in a waiting place. Because the blood had to hit the altar. The blood of Jesus had to hit the altar of heaven. So they were in a holding place. And they were waiting for a day of victory. You know, you read in Hebrews, he said the fathers, they waited for the promise. They eagerly looked forward, but they never received it. This is what they were waiting to receive. Was the gift of righteousness. And when Jesus died, and he paid the price, and then he rose from the dead, the Bible said the saints, the tomb of the saints, opened up. And they were seen in Jerusalem. You understand what happened there? So even the dead, when the devil got put on display, they saw it and they felt the victory and they were liberated from the chains of death. So, you see, that's why sometimes you got to put manifestations of spirits on TV. A couple years ago, we said, you know, when somebody's manifesting, we're not going to put them on TV. But then I said, Jesus broadcast it in his word so that we can read it and we can have faith to do the works. Because he said, greater works you shall do. Imagine he didn't put the demon parts. Demon would have been abusing people. We'd be like, ooh, give her some cold water. Give her some heat compact. Calm her down. Take her for a walk. Take it for a while. But what did Jesus do? He commanded the spirits to come out. I have one sister sitting in the back. She was always in the hospital. She thought she was sick. But what it was demons manipulating her body. She's on the camera in the back. She came to Faith Church. She said somebody told her to come to Faith Church. She called me over the phone. I prayed to her and then she came. The same lady that was going back and forth into hospital is now sitting in the back running the media team. You know why? We drive out the spirit. They never see authority like that. But Jesus showed up and he manifested the authority that the people were waiting for. Hello? They were waiting to see. So what he did, he put them on an open spectacle, made a spectacle of them. Triumphing. What he did? Triumphing. What did Jesus do? How did he triumph? Over. How did he triumph?
Over.
How did he triumph?
Over.
In fine style. That's triumph. He didn't just win, he triumphed. It's a difference. You can win by 1 and 2 points, but it was a clean sweep. Hello? It was a clean sweep. He triumphed over them. Give the Lord praise, somebody. So go back to Matthew 28. Now, I'm talking about your authority now. It's not enough to know that Jesus has authority. Jesus wants you to know that you have authority. The believer is a powerful being.
Oh, yes.
I said, the believer is a powerful being. Look at your neighbor. Say, what's a power?
What's a power?
Yeah, come find somebody. Some of you didn't find nobody yet. Say, what's a power?
What's a power?
Yeah, say, what's a power?
What's a power?
Yeah. Jesus said to them, he said, all authority is mine. But then he said, it's time to use the authority. He said what? Go therefore. Go in the like manner. Go forward in the like manner and do what? Make disciples. They could not have made disciples without authority. Track with me. I said, they could not make disciples. No. All right, somebody help mama over there. Take him out. Take him for a walk. Right? Go therefore and what? Make disciples of all nations. He wasn't telling them to just go and preach a little powerless gospel. He's saying go with the same power and the same authority that I have. I am sending you to go and heal the sick. I'm sending you to cast out demons. I'm sending you to raise the dead. Because what? All authority is mine. And what I'm doing, I'm giving you the same one. It says in Acts chapter 1, you shall receive power after what? The Holy Ghost is come upon who? Come upon who? Come upon who? You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And what you're going to do? You're going to demonstrate this power. He said, you shall be my witness. How are you going to witness? Sometimes you're going to preach and it's good. But there's other times you're going to pray for somebody and they're going to get healed. And it's going to be a witness that you have been with Jesus. You're going to cast out a demon and it's going to be a witness for the gospel. Paul said we didn't come with enticing words, but we came with what? Power. So, this was given to us. He said, go. He didn't just say, hear it, sit, and feel good. That's what happens to us in the church. We feel like we can't do nothing. Hello? We feel like we can't do nothing. But I come to change that today.
Amen.
Tell somebody we're changing that. I'm going to operate in authority.
Come on.
Touch yourself. Say, I
will
operate in authority. Now, this is not pride. This is you knowing who you are.
Amen.
I said this is not pride. This is you knowing who you are. Because if Jesus said to go with authority, and we're saying, you know what? Leave it for pastor. Oh, leave that for the prayer team. Oh, no. He said to them, you go and do it. It's time for you to do it. It's time for you to rise up in your home and do something.
Amen.
It's time for you to rise up in your home and do something. It's time for you to open your mouth and declare something in your house and see it change. It's time for you to rise up on your job and see things change. Because you have what? Authority. Who has given it to you?
Jesus.
Who has given it to you?
Jesus.
Who has given it to you?
Jesus.
Now, how can we demonstrate this authority? Number one, they must be right believing. They must be right believing. Because if you hear this word and you don't believe it, it is no good for you.
Amen.
You can hear it, but you don't believe it. You cannot act upon it. The Bible says anyone that comes to God must what? Believe. Must what?
Believe,
believe that he is.
Yeah.
Right? So if you don't believe that Jesus is, or that he is Lord and he is Savior and he's God, you can never get saved. If you don't believe that he died, buried, and resurrected, you can never get saved. You can't say, oh, I believe he died, but he never resurrected. No, no, no. You got to believe all three. Believe he died, buried, and resurrected. And he reigns. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And how does he live? Forever.
Amen.
So there must be one right believing. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Let's read the scripture. And we also thank God continually, because when you receive the word of God, what you did? When you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as what? Human word. Not as what? The word of men. Or, all right, let me follow. But as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in who? You who believe. Who does the word of God work in? Those who believe it. So when you see that all authority is in Jesus' hand, and now he has commanded you to go, and you believe it, you can then act upon it. But if you don't believe it, you can't go in authority. You can go and get slapped up. You can go and get abused. You can go and get cussed out by demons. Book of Acts, sons of Sceva. They said, we come to you in the name of the God of Paul. No, he has to be your God. He has to be your Savior. He has to be your authority. So when you go, I come to you in the name of Jesus. So when somebody's convulsing and acting ridiculous, you say, in the name of Jesus, come out. Simple. 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 You can fix situations by the right believing. You can, when somebody's acting up on your job, your boss is giving you a hard time. Not if you're misbehaving. I'm not talking about that now. Now let's not misbehave and they say, I have authority. You know, sometimes Christians overstep. You behaving ridiculous, behaving like a heathen. And the boss have to wonder if you are saved. But yet he knows you go to church every Sunday. And I can't come to work because I gotta go to church. I need the day off because I gotta go to church. But then your behavior don't match up with church. Am I talking here? And then you want to rebuke the boss. God is going to say, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you shall reap. But if it's, what's the word I'm looking for? Injustice you're receiving, you can stand on the authority of the word. And it said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, it is loose on earth. But if you don't believe that, it will not work for you. If you don't believe that you got power over spirits, it will never work for you. If you don't, you know, there's this man I saw on YouTube. He was doing a interview with Vlad from Hungry Generation. This man was a Baptist man. Baptists don't believe in speaking in tongues. Baptists don't believe in casting out demons. They don't believe in miracles and those things. But they believe God can do anything, right? Because God is sovereign. That's the little term. But the man said one day he was like at a gas station. And somebody knocked on his window. The person said, God will use you in a mighty way. Okay. He left. He went on his way. He keep getting these prophecies. People will meet him and say, God will use you in a mighty way. But he's like, I'm just a little Baptist guy. You guys could go look it up. It's on Vlad's Hungry Generation page. And the man said, later down the road now. Now, what was that? That was the purpose of God for his life. What was that? Remember we spoke about that earlier? That was God's purpose for his life. And he just left it alone, but he kept going. And he said, one day he encountered the Holy Spirit. He encountered the Holy Ghost and he got empowered and he became filled with speaking in tongues. Now, he's saying, how is this happening? But what? God had a mark on his life. And God used him to do mighty deliverance. Or he would go to the prisons and deliver people and bring deliverance to them. So he went from not believing, but when he what? Received the revelation of the thing, he believed. And sometimes some people require manifestation in order to believe. Some people believe, they hear the word, they get faith, but other times faith comes by what you see. Manifestation of the power of God. And then you're like, oh God, I can't doubt this one anymore. Amen? Good. So what we need? Right believing. Number one is what? Right believing. We need to have confidence in what Jesus said. Luke 9:1. Then he called his disciples together and gave them what? Power and authority over demons and to cure diseases. What happened there? He gave them the power. And what they did? They went out and they did it. They went out and they did it. They came back with the report and they said, Lord, even the demons are subjected to us. Spirits went out. People were healed. Right? But they had to have believed what Jesus said and stepped out how? In faith. Stepped out how? In faith. He that, the Bible says, without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. What is faith? Being divinely persuaded that what God said is true.
Amen.
Hello? Being divinely, it is not a common believing. Faith is going to a next level. Faith is a confidence in what God says. Even though it looks impossible in your ability, it's now by faith you act. Amen? And you receive the evidence of faith. It will manifest. Because he that comes to God must come by faith. Must come in what? Faith. So what we must do? We must believe right. What is it? First, we must what? Believe right. Now, the word of God says in James 4:7, it said, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Simple as that. Simple as that. If you submit to God, there's no room for the devil. But does that mean the devil wouldn't come? Was Jesus submitted to God?
Yes.
Did the devil come?
Yes.
Okay. The Bible says he's like a roaring lion. He walks about seeking. What is he doing? Seeking people he may devour, destroy. So it doesn't matter how much you're submitted to God, the devil is still going to come. So even in your submitting, you must understand that you have authority to resist.
Amen.
Are you tracking?
Yes.
Even in your submitting, that is not the cure all and all be all. Because it said in the same verse, submit and resist.
Yes.
So with that, no, you know, you submit to God out of love, out of honor, out of fear, right? Out of you receiving salvation, but what? You resist by authority.
Amen.
I'll leave it right there. You resist by authority. And what's going to happen? Resist the devil and he will flee. So when the enemy comes in, you have the power. Just by you believing, you act upon it. And you say, in the name of Jesus, I command every works of the enemy to stop.
Yes.
Stop. Stop. Don't entertain the devil.
Nope.
Too many of us say, let's wait and see. Wait and see. Don't wait and see. Anytime anything is contrary to God, open your mouth and do something about it. Amen? He says, he shall flee. And how will he flee? You know, one of the meanings of this word, he will flee in with terror. He wouldn't just say, I'm out of here. No. When you resist the devil, he has to run. he runs with terror. Because you know what he realized? You know who you are. And the moment the enemy knows you know who you are, he is in trouble. The problem is we don't know who we are. I see Minister Latoya. Oh, Minister Latoya. She's just quiet. She don't know nothing. But when God looks at her, he said, "Ooh, this is one of mine. Power and anointing and fire and glory." And much as more, when the devil said, "Oh, this is a showstopper right here." That's how when the devil look at us, he must see us as showstoppers. Meaning we're going to disrupt what he wants to do. We are his disruption. Why? Because Jesus has empowered you to act on his behalf. Now, the next thing. So the first thing is what? Right believing. The next thing is prayer. 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 The next is prayer. Mark 11:24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you what?" Ooh, no. Let's read it together. "Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you what?"
Pray.
Come on, everybody shout it. When you what?
Pray.
When you what?
Pray.
Now, when you ask the church, when last you pray? "Oh, I prayed before I left home." Okay, nice. When you pray it again? "I pray before I sleep." That's not prayer.
No.
That is you seeking protection. That's you seeking protection. You pray out of necessity there. "Lord, I'm going to work. Go before me. Cover the bus under your blood. Amen."
Amen.
Then you come back home. "This night as I lay to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake..." The devil said, "I like this prayer." The devil's like, "I like it. Keep going, keep going." But when you get up in the morning and you open your mouth and you glorify God and you praise God and you lift your voice on high and my God, hey, you declare the goodness of God and then you say, "Holy Ghost, what is it are we doing today?" In prayer. They say, "Spirit, have your way. Holy Ghost, have your way. Holy Ghost, lead me. Holy Ghost, guide me. Holy Ghost, empower me. Holy Ghost, let me manifest the works of God today." And then when you're done with what you know to say, you start speaking in tongues. The Bible says praying always in the spirit. When you transition out of common language, Paul said, "I pray with my understanding, but then I pray in the spirit." And there's mysteries when you pray in the spirit. The Bible said, "What we speak, mysteries." So you switch out. Listen, the prayer thing is big, the prayer thing is deep. But it says, whatever you desire when you pray. When you what? When you pray. So does that mean we need to pray?
Yes.
That means there must be a time of prayer. That means there must be times of prayer. We got a prayer line. You want to learn to pray? Go on the prayer line at 6 a.m.
Amen.
Put it on. You don't got to say nothing. Just let it play and you listen.
Amen.
And it will transfer the glory, the anointing, the power of prayer will come upon you. The reason many people don't pray, they say, "We don't know to pray." And can I tell you, not strange? The disciples came and said, "Lord, teach us to pray." But you come to church, but you don't want nobody to teach you how to pray. You know, this is a school. This is a school of the spirit. Hello? This is a school of the spirit. It's called church, but it's a school. I hope that when you walk out through these doors today, you walk out with authority. Because the teacher taught you that you have authority. So you're not going to go and be a watch over this week. And let the enemy do what he want, lead you where he want, have you have whatever conversation you want. No, you're going to say, "I'm going to line up with the word of God because I am a disciple of Christ."
Yes.
I'm going to be disciplined. Amen. I'm going to be disciplined. So we ought to what? Pray. We ought to pray. The Bible says men ought to pray and not faint. Man ought what?
Pray.
Always. When should you pray?
Always.
When should you pray?
Always.
When should you pray?
Always.
So, no, tell me, oh, I prayed this morning. When last you pray? I'm praying. You know, there's this little song by Ibuka song. He said, I will pray, I will pray, I will pray, oh, I will pray. If I don't pray, Satan will make mess of me. Simple. You know how we know that's biblical? Jesus said, pray that you do not enter into temptation. Pray that you don't enter into temptation. You want to walk in authority? Spend time in prayer. Spend time in prayer. You want to walk in victory? Spend time in prayer. Walk a walk of prayer. Live a victorious life in prayer. Acts 16:24, it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. My God. When? At midnight. At midnight. I got to sleep because I got to go to work. No, he said at midnight they were praying. What were they doing? And what came? Deliverance came. Because what? Prayer affects the atmosphere. Prayer affects the elements around you. When you pray, it has impact. Because you're not praying in your own name. You're praying in the name that is above every other name. You're praying to the one to whom spirits are subject to. So who's going to pray this week?
Amen.
The Bible said when they prayed, the shackles fell off. The shackles fell off. Jude 1:20 said, but you, beloved, by building yourself up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, learn to spend extended time praying in the Holy Ghost. Don't just say, I'm going to pray my understanding and that's it. No, go to another level. Tell somebody, come to another level. Come to another level. Say, God, I want to pray in the Spirit. I want to pray by the Holy Ghost. I want the Holy Ghost to pray through me. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayers and supplication in the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, you build capacity. When you pray in the Spirit, you build spiritual capacity. When you pray with your mouth, it can drain you. When you pray in your language, it can drain you. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you leave stronger.
Yes.
I'm telling you, you leave stronger. You need built up. It's like you don't know how things are aligning, but it aligns. Because it's not by might nor by power, but it's by the what? The Spirit of God. Are you with me? I said, are you with me?
Yes.
Who has authority in here? I'm going to skip some because of time. Next, the next first is right believing. Second is prayer. The third is declaration. You know these two is different?
Yes.
It's different. This is now you acting in faith with your words.
Yes. Amen.
The Bible said the word of God. Now, when you speak the word of God. Two declarations. There's the word of God, and then there is your word. Why do we use the word of God? Sister Uma was saying, when her son was getting sick in the hospital, she felt strong. The word of God came to her. What came to her? No weapon formed against me shall what? Prosper. What can mere words on a page do? Let me show you what it is. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is what? Quick. What is it?
Quick.
The word of God is what?
Quick.
The word of God is what?
Quick.
The word of God is what?
Quick.
The word of God is quick. The song says, he come true on a regular. You don't need no formula. You know why? The word of God is quick. The word of God is living and powerful. Or quick and powerful. That word quick means alive. So when you declare the word of God, it has ability to change situations.
Amen.
You with me?
Yes.
So let's read. For the word of God is living and powerful. What is next? And sharper. Stop right there. Sharper. the piece cut out. My own, yo, you have it. You have R. I don't have no R up there. Sharper than what? Any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. All right, stop. I'm not going to go teach. If I teach all of this, we're not get to the points. Right? But we apply the word of God because the word of God is alive. And it can affect and it changes situation. So whenever you are in a situation, use the word of God. David said, thy word have I what? Hid in my heart. Let the word of God be hid in your heart. Let the word store up in your heart so that the out of the heart, the mouth will what? Speak. Don't have unforgiveness in your heart. Don't have malice in your heart because it clogs your heart. It clogs your heart. Don't clog up your heart. No, let the heart be free. Administer the word and let the word free up your heart. Tell somebody, free up your heart. So that when you need the word, it can come out. You're not thinking about Tom, Dick, and Harry. No, you're thinking about the word of God. And it affects situation with authority. That's how your authority is manifested. So what? By the word of God. I'm going to go to the next word now. The words of your mouth. The word of God. But also now God wants you to take it further. He wants you to declare a thing and see it come to pass. He said decree a thing and it shall what? Come to pass. Mark 11:23. It says for assuredly. Well, how? Mark 11:23. Assuredly I say to you. Whoever said to this mountain. Be removed and cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart what happened, but believes that thing he says. He what? Will be what? Come to pass, or it will be done. What's going to happen? What you say matters. I want to tell you, what you say matters. Words have power. Words create outcomes.
Yes.
I said words create outcome. If words can trigger emotion, you better believe words have the ability to create your future.
Amen.
Why you think when you go to schools they say, here comes our little scholars. What are they trying to do? Pump confidence into the children. If they come and say, oh, here comes these little rascals. You're not going to send your child back to that school. No, because you want somebody to what? Speak life to them. Somebody that would speak hope into them. Somebody that could paint a picture of a bright future. I want to tell you, your words have power. Because it says what? The things he what? Say. So stop praying positive and speaking negative. Oh Lord, bless us with a billion. Pastor, you getting the billion? Oh, I'm not sure yet, you know. What you want really, Pastor? Right? It says, let the words of my mouth. You love the meditation part. But it says, let the words of your mouth be acceptable to God. He said, I know the plans to what? I have for you to what? Prosper you. Oh, but you're speaking, I don't know if I'm going to make it. How am I going to get through this? Pity me, pity me, pity me.
It's killing me.
Thank you.
Yes. I bet you're going to have.
You know? So we got to be careful. It said let the words of your mouth be acceptable to God. Because you have authority. So people with authority got to be careful what they say. Because it says, you shall have what you say. It will be done. So be careful. Don't call your children a loser. Don't call your children no good. Don't call your spouse this waste of a man. Good for nothing. Talk to your wife anyhow. Tell her all kinds of things. No. Careful. Your brothers and sisters, watch how you talk to them. That's God's anointed one you're talking to. Hello? Hello, he told her to go, he told her to go, he told him to go, he told him to go. They have authority. They're being backed up by God.
Amen.
So, our words are important. How do we exercise authority? By the words of our mouth. This week, watch what you say. Matthew 18:18 says, "As surely I say to you, whatsoever you want, bind on earth, it is bound in heaven." This word, oh God, means to tie up. It's like you picturing someone sitting on a chair and you bind them up with chains or rope. They can't move. Whatever you bind on earth, whatever you bind, that means you have legal right to act.
Yes, amen.
And it speaks of spiritual authority. Yes. Whatever you bind where? On earth. Where did Jesus get authority? In heaven and on earth. Yes, the devil is the god of this world. But Jesus said, the Father said to Jesus, "Sit down here until I make all your enemies your footstool." He said, right now the devil has his way. Right now he's doing his thing. But whoever comes into Christ, he's not on that side. He becomes a new creature. All things are past. All things become new. And then you're seated in Christ in heavenly places. Far above all principalities and powers. So whatever you bind on earth. So bind poverty. Start there. Bind sickness. Bind disobedience in your home. You got children acting out. Bind disobedience. Bind rebellion. Your body is dysfunctional. Speak to it. Bind dysfunction. Your money is acting funny. Bind it up. And then it says the next part. That's the first part. But then he gives you a privilege after that now. He said whatever you lose. Whatever you release. You bind up one and you command blessing. He said we bind you up. Get out of here. We lose blessing. We lose joy. We lose peace. We lose hope. We lose life. We lose, oh my God, blessings overflow. The year of uncommon miracles. I speak uncommon miracles. Not the ordinary. Uncommon miracles in my life. In my home. In my family. In my church. Over every one of your life. I release uncommon miracles. So what do we have? Authority. You manifest authority by what? Number one, right believing.
Yes.
Number two, prayer. Number three, the word of God. And number four, the words of your mouth.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged your heart. We also want to say a special thank you to our faithful givers and partners. It's because of your generosity that the vision moves. If you would like to partner with us, please visit faithchurch.life/give. On Sundays, we have our Sunday services at 10 a.m. live on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So join us there. Don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss another sermon again. I'm Emily.